Hello and welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Vlad.
I am Mark.
And this week we start from Microsoft Bounty Program.
All right.
So we have many of them now going, and in fact, I believe we talked about them a lot.
They are always coming up with new programs for our newest products that are coming out.
Yeah, so it's all about making money by searching for bugs and for security holes in our products, right? So whatever you find, it's good for you because you receive money from us, and it's good for us because we have something to fix.
Right, absolutely. It's a good kind of cycle where it incentivizes security researchers to stay on the white hat side of things. It's good for us because we get to learn about these vulnerabilities before they're out in the wild. And it's a way to make some money. If you're a professional security researcher or penetration tester, or if you're just an aspiring student who's getting into the field, you may get some decent money here to cover your books or even a semester at school. Some of these go up to $15,000 for severe vulnerabilities.
Yeah, so. And if you find something, just if you're not like a security guy and just find something by mistake, mm-hmm. then make sure you check if it can be qualified under this one of these programs.
Absolutely.
And again, this is about ASP.NET Core, .NET Core, and many others like programs which
yeah, these specifically are being announced. However, yeah. You can go to the Bug Bounty Program website, aka ms/bugbounty, and see the whole list of them along with their time periods. Because there's certain kind of windows for legacy code versus new stuff.
Yeah, so. And many of these components are actually open source, so you can kind of debug and make sure you can make a repro. It's even better when you
white box testing, very different.
Cool. Going forward.
Speaking of looking through source.
Oh yeah, looking through source. Actually, a guy from one of the Google Developer Advocates. And his name is Philippe Hoffa. Mm-hmm. He and his, I would say, coworkers, they got all the publicly available GitHub repos, and they tried to understand what people are actually using for as delimiters, like as space delimiters.
Space versus tabs.
Yeah.
A lot of people call this a religious debate. I was talking to a couple of coworkers when we were looking over this article today, and we actually have no preference. I had to go into Visual Studio mm-hmm. and look. I had to go and select my tabs to see even what they were. We're using spaces. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. Personally hit tab, and whatever comes up. So I believe the default in Visual Studio.
Yeah, I know that at Microsoft, at least for if you're using our VSO repos, mm-hmm. There is a policy for using spaces.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a good thing then.
And if you read through this article and look at these stats, you see that I would say old times, in C times, they use mostly spaces.
Yeah, it looks like more of a legacy thing.
Tabs. Tabs.
Go is the only one that is significantly on the tab side, and that's part of their kind of style guideline. Anyway.
Actually, I made a mistake. They used to go with the tabs mm-hmm. in C type, especially C language, because people just were just hitting tabs, and those were times with old text editors. If you hit tab, it's
going to
answer tab.
Yeah, there's no smarts behind it.
And then once they moved to new C++ and new languages, and especially Java, they go with the spaces.
I'd say overall, this seems to be less controversial than something like where you put your braces mm-hmm. or M underscore and prefixing and stuff like that. So this looks like spaces is fairly safe. However, with modern IDEs, you barely even notice.
Do spaces.
Moving to the cloud.
Cloud, yeah. Microsoft Azure now available from UK Dental Service. That's a big deal for those of customers mm-hmm. who care about certain special loads and geo availability and being closer to the customers, and that's important for especially for UK customers, and overall it's good for European customers.
Yeah, we have a Western European data center already, but this one obviously, if you're in the UK, gonna be closer. Always better to have a data center closer to you than having it farther, and that means that there are now 28 generally available. And we've announced 34, so six mm-hmm. more to come. So that's more than any other major cloud provider. And again, having more of them just means more availability of your services to your customers.
That's that case when more is better.
Yeah. Speaking of more in Azure.
Yes, fucking more in Azure. There is a great post by Sebastian talking about like pretty much all the services available in Azure. I remember times when like all the services, you can see them like on one web page and basically not just see the names, but actually navigate between them and see like a certain view of the state of the service, like what's going on.
Cloud apps and VMs, good luck, basically at that point. Yeah, that was many years ago now, I guess at this point.
Yeah.
But so now you get the whole list, everything from analytics to an entire suite of things for IoT, identity management, virtual networking, I mean, the list goes on and on. Just actually data and storage is an entire category of things you get, from our good old blob storage to now DocDB and relation lists views and things like that. So
hard to choose from.
We had an entire strike team looking at for our future stuff we're working on, like, hey, what's exactly the best? And it totally depends on what you're doing. That's why we offer so many options. There is no one like best all the time, best tool for the job.
Exactly. Speaking about stuff related to Azure and related to cloud, which IoT is, we recently announced, Intel recently announced, what's the name, Joule? Yeah.
Depends if they mean they're talking about, I mean, assuming since it came from the Edison before this.
Exactly, so probably it should be Joule, which is an IoT module, an IoT system on chip. It's compatible with Windows 10 IoT.
Yeah, it said it took them about 6 weeks or so to get the builds up running on it. If you're familiar with the Edison, it's very similar but much more powerful. You've got an Atom processor running at 1.5 or higher gigahertz. You've got 3 or 4 gig of RAM, which, that's enormous. This is far from your Raspberry Pi or your Arduino here. It's got Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and integrated graphics as well. So the integrated graphics is a big change from the Edison, which did not have. So
yes,
that's one major difference.
That's a big deal. The one that Qualcomm shipped like last year, they also have a real GPU, which was a big deal. And we tried that and then we felt like a big difference.
Yeah.
Same here, like on the Intel side, now there is a module with a GPU.
Yeah, I felt like before we kind of dealt with the restrictions because we're like, look, we want small, cheap, mass producing these small things for sensors. Now it's going to be the point where that's a computer. That's straight up computer. Like you can, a modern cell phone would be powered with something similar to that power. So you can have a full range of like featured applications running on these things, very small for prototyping, which is very cool.
Yeah, and if you compare it with the small computers with like Intel sticks are, this is an IoT module, so you can like connect other stuff to it.
Yeah,
you can experiment. So that's a different game. But still, if you have you're not powerful enough with your Raspberry Pi, go with the Joule. Next item is quite interesting because it's about making PHP working, not working, but compiling to .NET. That's quite an exotic task, but it's still exciting.
Yeah, take PHP code, compile it into IL, and then run it on the CLR.
Yeah, because
very interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Like it's very interesting as an experiment because again, it's another language compiling to .NET IL, but it's also an interesting experiment from the library perspective, from the runtime perspective, and I wonder like what these guys are gonna go to.
Yeah, it is an open source project, so another one you can go and take a look at what is available in there and how they're doing it. Very interesting if you're interested in compilers or cross-language translation and things like that.
Once I see it, I start thinking about Unity's IL to CPP effort. Mm-hmm. So basically, imagine like this doesn't exist, but
PHP
imagine
to
your PHP to IL, then IL to CPP, and then CPP to native code. Man, that's like PHP to native code, just a long, long chain.
And now WordPress is an EXE, your sharpening machine.
Yeah. Talking about not native stuff, right?
Very non-native.
Very not native. Webaudio. So what's this?
This is kind of playing with the new web audio APIs.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people are going to think, okay, web audio API, like, okay, are we going to be playing background music when you launch a web page again? And Hopefully not. But this is actually analyzing the data that comes through a standard WAV file. So a WAV file is essentially a bunch of samples of the waveform given a certain frequency. That's what you normally see your 44, you know, kilohertz sampling. But this takes the frequencies and the waveforms and then visualizes them in a way to show you like what sounds look like over time. So they show here like I think it was like a duck quacking and a couple like a wave crashing, some like nature sounds, and put them through here, and you can see kind of the visual makeup of what a waveform looks like for those. And it's all being done in with web audio API. So it's very cool to get native access to something like that. When I say native, I mean like getting the low level of an audio file. You're not just getting like player pause. You're getting the full data stream from it.
I know some people, they're just thinking, look at the waveforms, like the something that generated based on the visual representation of the sound. And they that's actually that thing.
This is one of my hobbies. Is doing light and visualization based on procedurally based on audio. So seeing stuff like this is very interesting because seeing sound, this is kind of one of those crazy ideas that
Do you remember Milk Drop?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. This is amazing. Yes. And now, like people from Shadow Toy website, they also do it with the. They basically mix in like shadow visualizations, like based on OpenGL, GLSL, and audio, well, like from SoundCloud, let's say. And those are amazing things.
Yeah, like, there's some really cool stuff happening in mixed and virtual reality in this as well, because that's again like immersing yourself in sound. Neat to me. I like
awesome.
It.
Awesome, brand new world, man.
Speaking of brand new,
yeah, Xamarin.
New show on right here on Channel 9.
Channel 9.
Very creative name. Very straightforward name. The Xamarin Show.
Very straightforward, Xamarin. So it's a new show. If you're interested in multi-platform development and the .NET development overall, this is for you. I haven't watched yet.
I haven't yet. The first episode is out. I will probably go back and watch it since I am primarily now a Xamarin developer for a lot of stuff I do.
And the weekend is ahead.
It is. It is. I like nothing better on the weekend than watching Channel 9, just like you should.
Yeah. Awesome. And speaking about Channel 9 and also about our favorite part of the show, my pick of the week is another Xamarin stuff. This week, just like this came from Miguel's tweet. They recently, and actually not that, but the Xamarin community, along with Xamarin developers, they recently posted the very early version of Xamarin Forms on Mac OS. So basically now, if you get this early version, you can build your application with Xamarin Forms, sharing not just the business logic, but also the UI code across Windows, like all kinds of Windows, like Windows
Universal UWP, Windows,
Universal Windows, and even like 8.1 stuff, plus iOS, Android, and Mac OS.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. That's basically all major platforms with one code base.
Yes.
Cool. Yeah. But many people were waiting for Mac OS because, let's say, like those are from they're from enterprise and they have not just Windows but also Mac OS machines, and those were kind of showstoppers for them.
Yeah.
And they needed to develop like a separate thing because Xamarin supported Mac OS before, but it was like a different flavor.
Ah, okay. It was before now, my Xamarin time.
Yeah. Now it's like full, like one full thing.
Right.
Eventually it's going to become because it's just an early version on GitHub. So in order to use it, there's no like alpha channel or beta channel for that.
It's you need to go to GitHub. Cloning the repository.
Yeah, it's open source. You just build it. Awesome. So that's my pick of the week. What
love
about
seeing
yours?
The preview of that stuff early. I would love to share that Microsoft HoloLens was selected by Popular Mechanics with a 2016 Breakthrough Award.
I'm not surprised.
It's got a really cool cover on the magazine.
Yeah.
You can see it back there.
That's amazing.
It's a neat juxtaposition, mixed reality on a magazine, like old and new kind of style. But Popular Mechanics, definitely still one of those good ones that are still out there. But talks about kind of the creation. Actually has a very lengthy interview with Alex Gitman, one of the founders of HoloLens, inventors, talking about how some of his past in the company, how he took a sabbatical, and how he came back kind of re-energized to really change the world, and that started with Project Natal, which became Kinect, and then continued on to HoloLens as well. So very cool. Like I said, very long feature story. So I highly recommend you go and check out the full article. It gives a lot of the background and just a lot of interesting tidbits about the background of the project. Actually talks about a bunch of the code names as well.
Nice. I should read it. Sorry, Alex, I didn't read it.
Not yet. The weekend's coming.
Yeah, the weekend is coming, yeah. So it's not only about Channel 9, it's also about Popular Mechanics.
Yeah, this weekend coming up is the start of American football. Thus, I'm wearing my jersey today. And that's about it. That's a... figure I'd wrap up talking, telling about what I'm spending this weekend doing.
Yeah. So that's it. You have stuff to do this weekend with Channel 9 and other magazines and shows and websites. So thank you for spending time with us and have fun.
Thank you. See you next time.
Bye.